so much, Sandra. Heaven did come down, and glory filled my soul. I believe God has something special for you and for me this day. He's been preparing us for this moment. And I cease to be amazed by the things that God does. In fact, he's just getting started. As we get into today's message, let us bow our heads. Loving Father, thank you because you are good, you are righteous, and you love us more than what we can begin to understand. Thank you for how you bless us all this week, and at this moment, you want to give us food. I pray, O God, that you will awaken a hunger within our souls that we may want to eat your word. Fill us and move us and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we find such a one somewhere, somehow? I sure hope so. Such a one. You're not sure who the pastor's talking about. About to find out. Hopefully you brought your Bibles with you. The last time we saw Joseph, he was running away from Potiphar's wife. He could have had all that was Potiphar's, not only in riches, not just in authority, but also in the wonderful affection of his sweet, dear wife. I mean, in some people's minds, agreeing to Potiphar's wife's proposition was okay. Why? Because everybody else was doing it. But as we saw last week, okay is not okay. Okay isn't good enough. What is God empowering us to do? The Bible says, virtue. What is virtue as we saw last week? Virtue is moral excellence. That's much different than okay. Okay is kind of just there. Moral excellence is going above and beyond. That's like an A++ if it was a grading system. Before I forget, I'd like to welcome Elder Irwin and his sweet wife here today. We're so glad to see you here from Grants Pass. Joseph, he made the right choice, at least in his mind. In fact, it was the right choice. And now he's not only all alone, but guess what? He's a supposed criminal now. Everybody thinks he's guilty. And what good is it to follow God now? What has following God gotten me if all I got now is bad news and a bad reputation? You see, the devil could have us think that following Jesus is a life devoid of problems. The devil will have us think that following Jesus means we'll never have another worry or care in this life. Everything's gonna be smooth sailing. Not a problem in the world. Anybody have problems right now? I'm glad I'm not the only one. And as we've made our decision to follow Jesus, and as the trials do come our way, then we're hit with a combination in a boxing ring, so to speak. We could reason, if following Jesus has led me to this, then what's the point? What good is it to follow Jesus? I might as well just throw in the towel. I'm done. And I ask you today, is it worth it to follow Jesus? Makes me think of one Paul. He had quite the smooth sailing life. He says, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That's almost 200 stripes if you're a mathematician. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, and in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. And then verse 30, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. Why would Paul be so willing to go through all of these things for the cause of Christ? He was willing for one thing and one thing only: for his glory. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is the character of Christ revealed in your life and revealed in mine. And as the character of Christ becomes reproduced in our lives, now God can use us for his glory. Who here wants the glory of God? I want it. How about you? The character of Christ revealed in your life, and since you have that desire, get ready. Because as we allow him to do that, God will now bring his glory to become realities in our lives. And to do that, he might just get you out of your comfort zone. Why? Because as his glory is revealed, as his character is revealed in our lives, it requires us to make a sacrifice. Why is such a sacrifice required on our behalf? Oh, it's because he sacrificed everything for us. So Joseph is in jail with one thing and one thing only on his mind. What was that? How in the world am I going to get out of this place? I'd like to say that he's the only one who asked this question. But I think we ask this question very frequently ourselves. How am I going to get out of this mess? How am I going to get out of this situation? As we fail to realize that something bigger is going on. Something bigger is happening. This morning's message, we're going to cover 3 dreams. 3 dreams in the chapters 40 and 41 in the book of Genesis. Dream number one. Pharaoh's butler and baker end up offending Pharaoh, and they get thrown into jail, and Joseph says, hey, nice to meet you. I've been expecting you. I've been waiting for you. I got a spot just for you right next to me. Joseph oversees these 2 gentlemen, and one day they look pretty down, and Joseph asks them, what's wrong? And they tell him that they both had a dream last night, and no one has been able to give them the meaning. Joseph's response to their words, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Joseph lets them know that there is a God and that this same God has the answers. But Joseph takes it a step further. If God is able to interpret dreams, then what is Joseph implying in his request to hear the news of this dream? Joseph is implying that Joseph has some kind of relationship with this God. Do you have a relationship with God? I believe our God wants to have a relationship with us that we have yet to experience. I believe he wants to reveal things to you and to myself. This very day, I was in bed Thursday night trying to finally get some sleep. And the Holy Spirit put many points of this morning's message. Boom, boom, boom. I woke up in the morning and raced to a notepad to write them down before I forgot them, or else I would have. But God wants to do more than that. What Joseph is implying is that God will talk to Joseph. That God will give him the interpretation, and in turn, Joseph will spill the beans to the butler and the baker. Although time has gone by, we, like Joseph, have the same role. Listen to this. In a special sense, Seventh-day Adventists have been set in the world as watchmen and light bearers. To them has been entrusted the what warning? The last warning for what kind of world? A perishing world. On them is shining wonderful light from the Word of God. They have been given a work of the most solemn import, the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages. There is no other work of so great importance. They are to allow nothing else to absorb their attention. Was the message that the butler and the baker needed to hear, was that message a matter of life or death? Yes, it was. Are there not people who have yet to hear this last warning message? Yes, there are. So here's the question that all of us need to wrestle with. Have we allowed ourselves to allow other things to absorb our attention? We're busy, or at least we think we are. It's amazing. When we're between a rock and a hard place and we need to do something, even though we don't like that something, guess what we do? We do it. We do it when it means something to us. But if it means nothing to us, guess what? We won't be sharing this message. Does Jesus mean anything to you? I believe he does. Does the salvation of others mean anything to us? If that is the case, then what are we doing about it? Sorry, I was thinking of the choir members and the New York accent sometimes comes out. Like Joseph, maybe we're too preoccupied with trying to save our backside. Maybe we're too busy worrying about ourselves. We're too busy with things that are temporary. Dream number one. The butler tells Joseph the dream. Find that in verses 9 to 11. And Joseph says, I'll tell you the interpretation. I'll summarize it. In 3 days, you'll be freed and you'll be back into your previous position as butler. Good dream. Happy dream. I like this dream. That was the dream that God had given the butler. But guess who else was dreaming? You might be tempted to say the baker was. No, he wasn't dreaming. He already had his dream. Joseph was dreaming. He was dreaming about getting out and praying and hoping that his now BFF, his best friend, would remember him once he does get out. And all of a sudden, Joseph feels impressed to share his personal testimony. Why is Joseph telling his testimony? So that the butler will feel convinced that indeed Joseph was innocent and get him out. It's amazing what will lead us to tell our testimony. Testimony. When was the last time we shared our testimony? Sharing what God has done for us. Sharing about the love and power of God in doing amazing things in our lives. If we haven't shared our testimony lately, We should pray and ask God to show us when is the right opportunity to do so. Joseph was giving his testimony to save his life, not to save someone else's life. He knew the butler was going to be reinstated, but who cares about the big picture, Mr. Joseph? As the butler is on cloud nine, all of a sudden you can hear someone behind Joseph trying to clear their voice. What about me, Joseph? What about my dream? Bad news for Mr. Baker, verse 16 and 17. For in 3 days he was to be beheaded. Mr. Baker had hoped that his dream would have been as positive and as rosy and peachy as Mr. Butler. But this is the dream that God gave, the prophecy that God gave. Are the prophecies that we find in the Bible important? Are they true? They sure are. Jesus said, and now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may what? Believe. Do we believe in the prophecies of the Bible? What about the 70-week prophecy? Do we believe in that prophecy? What about the 2300-day prophecy? What about Revelation 13? Let's rewind a little. What's a 70-week prophecy all about? That's about the grace of God manifested in his only son, Jesus Christ, who was baptized 27 AD, started his earthly ministry, who died as Messiah, the Christ, 31 AD, our atoning sacrifice, and whose gospel now goes to all the world, not through the Jews, but through the Gentiles, 34 AD. What is the 2300 days all about? That's when the judgment in the most holy place in the heavenly sanctuary was to begin in 1844. What is Revelation 13 all about? That's how the Bible predicts of the healing of the mortal wound of the papacy that would use the United States to pass its spurious Sabbath, its fake Sabbath, bringing about persecution on the basis of obligatory Sunday observance. Or would we prefer that these prophecies just not exist, much less even share them? Why am I spending time on these prophecies? It's because Joseph was a prophet. Except at this point in his life, when he was in jail, what was Joseph's focus? Verse 23 tells us of chapter 40. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. All the hope that Joseph had in getting out just went out the window. Besides, the butler's back in his position. The baker's dead. It's just another day in Egypt, folks. That was dream number one and number two, which leads us to dream number three, chapter 41. God gives Joseph some humble pie for 2 years. And now it's not the butler having the dream, much less the baker, but it's Pharaoh himself. He has the dream. 7 fat cows come up from the river and they eat away in the meadow. Everybody's happy, good times all around. Then the skinny, sad-looking cows come up from the river. They stand on by and then they ate the 7 fat cows. He wakes up and then falls asleep yet again. And has another dream. 7 big, good ears of corn come up on one stalk, and then 7 thin and ugly ears of corn come up as an east wind had brought them. And thus the 7 thin ones devour the 7 big and fat ones. Pharaoh doesn't know what all of this means. He calls his who's who's and so-and-so's so that they can interpret the dream. Interpreters. They didn't have the answer. aren't you glad that we can interpret the prophecies of the Bible accurately? And if you're not able to just yet, I encourage you to study it out. And if needed, ask somebody who has more experience to be able to guide you through that process. If maybe we don't know how to interpret the prophecies, then what about those who don't know God, much less anything about the Bible and the prophecies? I wonder if God kind of possibly maybe has a people who would share his light in this dark world. Oh, that's right. That would be us. Mr. Butler. Let me tell you something about Mr. Butler in chapter 41. He testifies. Why does the butler testify? So that he can gain Pharaoh's favor? No. So that his paycheck is a little heavier at the end of the month? No. He testifies, albeit to help someone. Pharaoh. But this is why he testifies. He even testifies that he's messed up in not remembering Joseph as he said he would. I wonder what it would take for us to testify and share the goodness of God in our lives with others. Maybe it's a big story. Maybe it's not that big of a story. But to share God's goodness. As things are starting to slowly regulate and come back into some sort of normalcy in our home, this past week we all went for a walk. First time, the four of us and the dog. Even saw Diana. As we were walking, two Rottweilers came out of nowhere, and a little half-pint dog barking like there was no tomorrow. And I knew this could be dangerous. I have my wife, I have a one-year-old, and I have, tomorrow will be a three-week-old. And these two big, angry Rottweilers, not stopping anytime soon. I also knew that if I showed any hint of fear, the dogs were sure to pick up on that. And so I said, Lord, help. And so as the dogs were approaching my way, I took the initiative and started quickly walking their way and yelled at them, go home! Go home! They were angry, but they weren't expecting somebody else to be angrier. They didn't come close to taking one bite. They followed us for 2.5 blocks. Almost as if they wanted to get a whole lot closer, but something was stopping them. That was God. If Mr. Butler can testify, maybe we can too. Testify. You see, that's one of the things that I love about prayer meeting is hearing the testimonies that are shared of what God has done, of telling of God's goodness, of which prayer meeting is at 6:30 on Wednesdays in the chapel. But getting back to Joseph. So Pharaoh and Mr. Butler just finished having prayer meeting. Just finished testifying. And Joseph is quickly summoned, and he has to change before coming into the presence of Pharaoh. He couldn't just go in his prison clothes, in his clothes of bondage. He got a new do, shaved, and new garments. And if that was just to see Pharaoh, shouldn't we wear our best for the King of Glory? How we come into the house of God, into his presence, is also an act of worship. Pharaoh tells Joseph that he's had a dream and that nobody's been able to share the meaning. Joseph's reply is, I don't know either. But God will give you an answer of what? Peace. You see, the prophecies are given for our faith to grow. The prophecies are for us to have peace. The prophecies are for our salvation and safety. Who wouldn't want faith? Who wouldn't want peace, safety, and salvation? I want that. How about you? If there ever was a time to believe in his prophecies, it's now. Back to dream number three. Pharaoh tells Joseph the dream. He tells him about the cows and the corn. Joseph tells them that it's actually one and the same dream. But what does Joseph tell Pharaoh that the purpose in giving the dream was? So that they may know what God was going to do and so that they can be ready. Does this world know what God is about to do? No, it doesn't. Maybe that's why he's given us these prophecies, so that they may know what God is going to do before he does it, and that they can be ready too. Joseph quickly moves from interpreting the dream to what they are going to do now that they know what will take place soon. Mr. Joseph, he comes up with some recommendations. Here are his recommendations. Number one, recruit men and organize. Number two, collect 20%, a fifth, of the grain. Number three, store it. Why did Joseph come up with these recommendations? So that the people wouldn't die. What do we call that? Salvation. Storing the grain. Why is the church organized? It is organized for mission. Isn't it interesting that we live in a time in which the organization of the church is being attacked? Coincidence? No, this comes from the devil, as he knows that without organization of God's army, his army will retreat and defect. But there's something that drives the organization of the church, as we see in Genesis chapter 40 and 41. In fact, it's a word that's repeated seven times. I don't know if you caught on to it. I reckon seven is a mighty good number. What was that word that was repeating seven times in chapter 40 and 41? Interpretation. How do we interpret the Bible? Our interpretation of the Bible and prophecy is what requires organization. We live in a time in which minister and lay member alike are leaving the church, for they no longer believe in what? The interpretation. Pharaoh said, Joseph, if that's the interpretation, then what should we do, Joseph? His response, organize. Why do we give at least 20%? 10% being tithe, and another 10% or more in offerings. We give that so that people may be saved, so that there will be food for them, spiritual food, the bread of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. These weren't the only things that Joseph recommended to Pharaoh. There was one last thing. You got to share it. You got to share the grain. Pharaoh then realizes not only was Joseph's interpretation of his dream right on the money, and his counsel of what they should do equally as important. But if Pharaoh could only find someone to head up this project, somebody, somewhere, somehow, and realizes that the person that he was looking for was right in front of his face. Who are the interpreters of God's prophecies? Has God given us counsel of what to do? As soon we'll be facing a crisis that this world has never seen? I wonder if, like Pharaoh, the person or persons that God is looking for to do the job is right in front of us, right in front of me. This third dream, Pharaoh makes Joseph royalty and gives him his own ring and authority. He gets new wheels. He gets a new wife. He ends up having two kids, Manasseh and Ephraim. Joseph does the job, and he said not only that this job needed to be done and completed, but during those years of plenty he stored up, but just as God said those 7 years of plenty would come, then the famine hit, and that famine hit hard. There is no bread anywhere except where? Egypt. But then the famine hit Egypt too. And as people came to Pharaoh, he told them, go see who? Go see Joseph. He opens all the storehouses as everyone was coming to him for food. Do we have food? I'm not talking about what's in our pantries. I'm not talking about what's in our tummies. I'm talking about Bible truth. Do we have a message that will not only prepare those who hear it, but will also save them? There's a change that happens in Joseph's life that I wonder if we might be needing to. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23. As we come to the home stretch. Luke chapter 23, verse 39 in all. The Bible says, and one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. As Jesus was dying on the cross, one criminal mocked him by denying him as the Christ. And he tells Jesus to do what? Save yourself. Wasn't that what Joseph was trying to do in dreams number 1 and 2? Trying to save himself. Jesus said, for whoever desires to save his life, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will man give in exchange for his soul? Well, I don't know about you, but I want to lose my life for his sake. How about you? Jesus didn't try to save himself. He stayed on the cross and died so he can save you and save me. Joseph told the butler, remember me when it is well with you, and hook this brother up. The butler forgot. Jesus said. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. The good thief asked Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. And Joseph had his sights on trusting and depending the feeble words of man. Although this thief was guilty as charged, he came to learn who was the only one who actually does keep his promises and remembers you and remembers me. Who would that be? Jesus. Jesus didn't try to save himself. He came to save the world. Joseph wanted to save himself, and it took him 2 extra years in prison to realize that God wanted to use him to save the world. Maybe today we feel as if we're in a prison with nothing to give, nothing to offer, trying to take care of this problem, trying to take care of that problem, and yet getting nowhere. And yet there's people all around us, and we're ignorant of the fact of focusing on me, and some more me. Much less realizing that these people may just die if they don't hear the everlasting gospel of Revelation 14. I believe God is calling for interpreters to get in action. Could there be people that we could have easily invited to be here with us here today at church? Or maybe we did invite somebody to come to church. And if one of the things that we can do in that process is praying for these people so that, one, God will bless them, so that, two, they will have a hunger to know God, and, number three, that they may be willing to accept our invitation once it is given. For some, when we give that invitation, they will come right then and there. Today, I praise God because there's people I invited and they are here. For others, it's not so quick. A couple years ago, in the month of November, we came together as a church and brought some pies and took some pies. One of the people that we took some pies to, my wife and I, was someone that we never met before. We had gone door to door and gave them a glow track one Sabbath afternoon, and then we went back during Thanksgiving season to bring this pie to them. And when they saw us, you know what they did? They gave us a hug. That's what they did. And I had gone several times back to their home to try to visit them, to no avail. Every time we went, they weren't there. I knew that they knew someone who comes here to church. And then lo and behold, this past week on Facebook, those two roads crossed where I came to come in contact with this person that we had delivered a pie to. I sent them a message saying, we've been praying for you. And you know what they said? Don't stop praying for me. I wonder if there's many, many more people like them. They did get an invite to come today. They're not here today. But I believe by faith, that day is coming soon. How many of us are willing to take that initiative this coming week to invite someone to come to church? Is that you? Is that me? This is the time. If we don't give them the food, they will die. Because that famine is coming, and it's coming soon. But Pastor, you don't know all the problems I'm going through right now. I got problems over here. I got problems over there. God wouldn't want to use somebody like me. If God can use imprisoned Joseph, then maybe he can use somebody like you and somebody like me. The prophecy of all prophecies is happening. May our eyes be on the one who was and is to come. As he's looking for such a one who will bring in his sheaves. Is that you? Is that me? If that is our decision, stand with me as we sing, Bringing in the Sheaves.